dirt roads to rock crawling, Tuba Chuck to Screaming Eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 16.
16?
16.
Just keeps on happening. This is Chris. Across from the table is Jason, the
co-host. I am back.
Back? Where you back. Been?
Well, I couldn't leave Meadow Lake. I did leave Meadow Lake, but then I went back.
You went back. I wish I
But you were up at Meadow Lake longer than me at the initial part of the trip where That's you right. and I were together. Our last podcast were live, well, recorded at Meadow Lake, I should say.
Recorded remotely at Meadow Lake.
Remotely recorded at Meadow Lake, and we were on Green Power.
Green Power. That's
we were doing our part to, what do they call those, carbon offsets, like carbon credits?
Carbon credits.
We were doing carbon credits for burning all the fossil fuels on the trail. Well, we were running our podcast off of solar power up there.
I'm not sure that was a full offset, though.
I don't know. I think so. Lorenzo's giving the nod. He's definitely in agreement.
All right.
Well, at least we tried.
Yeah. We tried. As Jason said, we recorded episode 14 and 15 up there, and he had to leave camp not long after we recorded episode 15 on Monday morning.
Right.
He had to roll back down to the Bay Area to take care of some business. And I didn't want to leave, so I stayed for a whole nother day, and it was actually
nice
very
and quiet.
Oh, it was totally chill. I hung out, read my book for a bit, but I needed to take care of a little bit of work. I had to do payroll, which I needed to.
So you needed some interwebs.
I needed internet, so I threw everything in my little backpack and took a little hike up to the log cabin there. It's about a 15-20 minute hike up the hill.
Yeah, from camp, I would say. Yeah, maybe.
Totally relaxed. Got up to the cabin. The owners were not there. I did not enter the cabin. I checked out their new deck, which is pretty sweet.
Nice.
My God.
Very nice.
The views up there are insane.
Yeah.
So, they had a nice chair on the back there. I had a great line of sight to Signal Peak. So, I had great internet through my hotspot on my phone. Conducted my payroll business there for my staff.
And right.
Logged out and hiked back to camp and then started partaking.
Nice.
Some
now,
beverages.
When you were up there, this is when. So we're going back now. What, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and I left on that Monday. Yeah, and then so, anyways, I was driving home, and then I got the text that Tyler's rig was no longer in his possession.
That's right. Tyler.
And we're going, holy crap. So then I called you immediately and go, just heard this news. What
crazy.
The hell?
Tyler from Steel Trail 4x4. If you don't listen to that podcast, our brother podcast.
Yeah, we call it the brother podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Not our sister podcast.
They, Tyler got home from Sierra Trek on Sunday night, the day before I went up to the cabin there. And
dead tired.
Dead tired, and he took a few items out of his rig, parked it out near his house in near Sacramento, I guess, and walked out the next morning, and there was no rig.
No rig. All his gear was in it, camping gear, everything.
Huge loss.
It was all over the internet. Within hours, it was shared hundreds of times.
Thousands.
And then it was thousands of times, shortly after that. So, power of the internet, and
That's
I guess...
It.
Long story short, somebody called him and says, hey, what are you doing down in this area of Sacramento? And
right.
Tyler goes, no, my rig got stolen. Do you see it? And he goes, yeah. And Tyler asked him to hang out, till he got there. And sure enough, it was his rig. Rig was intact,
right.
But all the gear was gone, including the winch and
battery
and
they
hacked
the wiring under the
hood. I can only imagine.
So they stripped the interior, everything except for the seats, I guess.
Oh, really?
And the dash. I mean, they took all the electronics, his ham radios, his stereo,
the rolling repeaters,
all the radios that the repeaters that he had set up for Sierra Trek, for comms.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff was still in the rig. His refrigerator, all the toolboxes, all of his spare
all the
parts.
Stuff he just finished up.
Literally thousands of dollars worth of stuff. His camping equipment was all in there. I mean, it was like a freaking bonanza for the thief. They hit gold.
So at least he got his rig back because that would have been really hard to replace and a lot of money as everybody knows that works on their rigs or pays somebody to work on their rigs, there's a lot of money in parts alone.
Absolutely.
Not to mention time fabricating and welding and making all the parts work together. So it was bittersweet. He lost his gear, but all that could be repurchased. And hopefully at the end of the day, he's going to end up with all new stuff. And
absolutely.
Out and some money, but not out cold, you know, with everything.
It's going to cost a little bit to replace everything that was lost. But, I big shout out to the community, the off-roading community and as a whole, and social media for stepping up and keeping their eyes open. I was totally off the grid at that point. Well, not totally, but I was up at...
Well, yeah, you just happened to have service at that time.
It would have been I had service at the time, but... as I'm listening to things and trying to get a hold of Jim or Tyler on Tuesday when I left camp.
Right.
So Tuesday morning, Monday I got the news and I just kind of didn't, there's nothing I could do about it. No way I could help. But, when I left camp at 5:45 on Tuesday morning, I got up, packed the rest of the stuff I needed to do, raised the camper jacks and just blew out of camp. It's an hour and 15 or so to get out to 89.
Yeah, when you're not towing.
When you're right. And I didn't see a single other car on any of the dirt roads when I was heading out. That's the beauty of how early I left.
And middle of the week.
Middle of the week. So, but as soon as I hit Truckee, my phone lit up. I mean, text messages.
Right. Yeah, we were going back and forth.
Emails. It was like, holy mackerel. So I'm glad that Tyler, we like to bust on the Toyota guys but wheelers are wheelers and we always want to, rally around each other when the times get bad.
So. And it did. Yes. You mentioned that it proved the point that regardless of what you drive, regardless of what people say and make fun of Dodges and Toyotas and all that stuff. But at the end of the day,
throw the Dodge.
I just had to because that's what I do. So. Everybody, banded together, phone calls and shares and, that damn social web is incredible.
I guess they estimated, you got to listen to their podcast, but they estimated that they probably had 100,000 people were touched by social media to have eyeballs looking.
Yeah. And across states. It wasn't just our area. So that's super cool. Okay. Well, there you go. So that was, you were coming back home. I was already fully immersed in work, Monday when I got home and then, and Tuesday it was crazy. I had crazy Tuesday, Wednesday. The nice thing was I left my truck I left my camper and trailer and buggy up there.
And Lorenzo,
he did. He watched over the whole operation.
He was an ass.
As soon as you left,
he was an ass.
And he ate all my chips.
Did he?
Yeah. While I was gone, he kind of just did a free for all. There's a bunch of empty beer cans around my camper.
I heard that.
Yeah. Lorenzo, I'm talking to you. He's kind of bowing his head down there.
He's a little worse for wear.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. His fur's a little ruffled up here. So, anyways, I had friends coming in. You were up there an extra night to kind of keep an eye on stuff, the camp host, and then, of course, our buddies from Winnemucca rolled in. So, you got to spend a night with them.
Yeah, I hung out with Robert and Donna for a little bit and their friends. Who was that? I forget. Don?
Who? Oh, Dan. Steve. Was Steve there yet?
No, just the guy white buggy? With the crawler hauler came in.
Okay.
And so I hung out with them and had a little bit of moonshine. Woo.
Oh. Kurt, did you meet Kurt?
I don't know. No, there was there was Kurt and his girlfriend from Australia.
Lonnie.
Lonnie.
Lonnie, that's right. Okay. And Sky.
Sky. Very interesting people.
Oh, I could do a whole podcast on Sky.
Yeah, no doubt.
I gave her a bottle of wine before she left. Yeah, she was great. She was that whole group's really fun. We had a blast together, and I'll get into that here in this podcast as some of the shenanigans. But
I walked over there after as I was walking back from the cabin after doing my work, they had arrived in camp and they were in the throes of unpacking. And boy, did they unpack a lot of stuff. I was shocked.
Kind of like eight coolers.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, damn, dude. And then they start setting up this bar.
Full kitchen stadium. The bar is Ooh. Is Moonshine Central. Oh, yeah. All these different flavored moonshines.
I think I was drinking. I walked over
Margaritas,
later on. And he's like, hey, I'm going to get you a drink. And he pulled out this big honking chair. And the, you know, I was like, down. $100-something chair. Yeah, so I ended up having a little bit of moonshine, and, you know, I got to be careful with that stuff.
I had my share of different moonshines last week, and there was one, the blackberry moonshine was my favorite.
That's, I think, what he poured for me.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's a good one.
And I mean, it was, what, 40 proof or 40%?
Yeah, it's not crazy over the top.
It was 80
proof,
yeah.
I mean, you drink it, you don't sense anything. Yeah, you could like, drink a whole jar of it, and then you're going to be...
You get out of your chair.
Big time. Yeah. So, yeah, they like to glamp like us.
Oh, yeah. No, they it was a pretty impressive base camp they had set up. And Robert's rig is pretty extreme. I guess his rig had been in that Top Truck Challenge that they had.
Yeah, it was the Top Truck Challenge they used to do, Four Wheeler Magazine used to do.
Down in Hollister.
Yeah, and our club was actually invited for the very first one.
Uh-huh.
And it was back in the 90s, early 2000s. I don't know. It's going back.
They
late
don't do
90s,
it anymore,
early 2000s.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they threw this concept at us and had our club meet them down there to show them around, essentially, because they weren't familiar with the park.
The magazine
that much.
Guy, Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah. Four Wheeler Magazine. And so we did. And it was cool. I mean, to watch it. But I mean, it was, you know, a CJ7 on 35s. You
oh,
know,
yeah,
that
right?
was competing.
That was big back
and,
then, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was no coilovers. There was no crazy stuff. And then it started getting a little crazier. And then, yeah, Robert built this S10 truck for that event.
Extreme
it's all
S10.
Exo-caged.
Yeah.
You know, big LS motor under the hood.
Sounds healthy.
Freaking huge-ass axles. And I don't know what he's running on there, 54 boggers or something. I don't know, monster tires.
They used to be 44s.
Are they? No, they're not 44s.
They're
I think they're
now.
Bigger than that. I don't know. It's hard to tell tire size anymore.
Right.
I think Tyler mentioned that.
Too. Size
matters. You start looking, and it's like, you know, you look at 40s now, and you go, are those 37s? No, they're 40s. Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, they're always on a JL or a JK.
Yeah,
and those
that's
rigs
true.
Are pretty,
it depends
pretty
on what rig they're on.
To start with. So.
Well, he's got a big rig with big tires. I know that
it
much.
Is, that's true. So.
Yeah, so I had to I had an empty truck, you know. I just had to reload on some refreshments and a little bit of food and propane for the hot tub, and and so it was easy getting home and back.
Refer to episode 14.
Yeah, 14 hot tub time machine. So so I rolled back into camp. So I was like basically set up. I just kind of had to rearrange a few things and it was super easy. So it was nice watching everybody else unpack and get going, right?
Did you caravan in with anybody on Friday or you rolled
in?
What time
was,
did you get to
I
camp?
Was solo. I didn't get to camp till like one. No, it was closer to two.
Okay.
2 o'clock because I stopped on the way up and the water heater that I had for the hot tub was not quite performing like it used to.
It was questionable.
And I'm like, oh, man. And so the mayor of Meadow Lake,
Jeff,
he has a plumbing company down the hill there in Auburn. And so he says, hey, I got something for you. Pick it up on your way back in. I'm like, okay. So I went over there. And it was freaking nice, you know, tankless water heater, propane. And propane accessories. Hook that sucker up and cranking out the hot water.
So it's a lot bigger than the one that was there?
It physical size, it's about the same size, but it is, I mean, you pick this thing up, it's got some girth to it. The coils in this thing are, it's huge.
Deal.
It's the real deal. It's better than my water heater at home.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking about changing it out, actually. I'll take my home water and use that up there.
Wow.
What was nice
this
is...
This water here is natural gas. So
yeah, I know. I'd have
to...
Yeah.
Deal.
Okay, thanks for popping my bubble there, Chris.
Sorry. Sorry.
So anyways, I go, okay, get this thing hooked up, and it's immediately cranking out hot water. I go, this is great. And the old one, it pissed me off because it would shut down after 20 minutes, had the safety feature on it. It only run 20 minutes max. So I go, okay. This thing would run as long as you wanted it to run, and the water heated up nice and quick. So, of course, got that up and running. That was my big operation for Friday.
Sure.
And get rid of all that poisonous air that I was breathing in the Bay Area here.
So, you know, how much propane? Because we burned to get that with the first heater. Was it Saturday night?
Yeah,
it was Saturday night. It was a dud. How much propane did you end up burning?
I ended up going through a full five gallon, like what are they, 5 pounds, 5 gallon,
5 gallon,
yeah,
20
five
pounds,
gallon, 20 pound, normal size barbecue propane tank. Gone.
On the when we first tried it,
correct,
right,
that and I got it up to, you know, 100.
No,
it was, well, I had it. It was at 99 that night that you got in, but with the first night, I had it up to 100.
Okay,
so that's good. 101's perfect.
The next night we had the tank from
So then the Dennis. Big tank came. Yes, and the other tank came in. But anyways, so then with this new one, we had one of those, the next size up. I call it a 7.
30-pounder.
Yeah, so 30-pounder, 7-gal, whatever. We didn't even drain that.
Really? For a week?
For a week. Now, we weren't using it every night. There was a couple of nights we didn't.
But you had to start from scratch.
But we started from scratch.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was much more efficient. So we're getting this thing dialed in. I'm going to set up a shower setup on it. So I can switch hot tub and then do showers, because we had buddy Tom up there with his Bronco. He just finished again, rebuilding, and he has a shower set up, you know. So he had that set up for everybody that didn't have campers and stuff to use the showers. So
that's a great deal, because it's like unlimited water at that point.
Well, yeah, but this would be the same thing, but better regulating. You're not burning as much fuel and all that stuff. So we just keep making improvements to our glamping experience.
Was the kitchen sink there?
Kitchen sink was there. All the Camp Chef stoves, the pizza ovens, you know. Kitchen stadium was on point. Lots of tables.
Good.
We had prep tables. We had food storage tables. We had, you know, cooking prep, salad bar area, you know, I mean, it was incredible.
I heard there was a bear in camp.
There was a bear in camp. It was in camp.
It was in camp.
I don't know if the damage happened in, well, it must have happened in camp, I guess.
The cooler.
Well, yeah, and Ray's truck.
Ray's truck.
We'll get to that later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get to that.
So anyways.
Goddamn bears.
So it was great. Got up there, saw Robert and Donna, and, you know, their crew started rolling in, too.
Right.
And, I mean, there was, like, 15 rigs in their group. I mean, big rigs.
Oh, when they were setting up camp on that Monday, they were concerned because that group was across the street, you know, the firewood group.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them split.
Right.
And there was, like, two campers left just across the street from where you guys ended up camping. That was at, I guess, a Northern Light, and then there was some sort of a toy hauler.
Yeah, nice toy hauler.
But they didn't seem to be in any hurry to go anywhere.
they were on your time.
Exactly. So I don't know if they left after I left.
Yeah, they weren't there when I got there by Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know when they left.
But they put a lot of hurt on that pile of firewood.
Oh, yeah. There was hardly anything left.
There didn't stop that. Campfire never stopped.
They had well over a cord of wood that they chopped.
I mean, it was probably two cords.
Yeah, a bit, you're right. It probably was two cords. So their crew started rolling in, and then, you know, it was great. The Saturday, you know, we're getting ready to go out and go touring around. We had a lot of people in our camp that hadn't been there before, so we were going to go tour them around.
That's another reason why I'm sad that I wasn't able to go out there, because there were some people I knew everybody, but I wasn't able to hang out with them.
Right. And then, of course, Robert and Donna had some people that hadn't been up there before, so we were going to do this. You know, I said, hey, you know, we're going to have breakfast, and then, you know, roughly an hour and a half or so, we'll load up and we'll just pack a lunch, and we're going to go touring around.
So you guys
and show you some of the sights.
Go down to Catfish Pond.
Exactly. Yeah. Show them the old
cemetery,
what's left of the miner's cabin, Excelsior Mine, the mine up the hill, you know, different other digging sites. We call it the whorehouse, but the three-story house down the hill.
I saw people post more pictures of it. It looks different than what I remember.
It needs some love. It's getting torn up. This winter was not good to it. But anyways, you know, we're in there checking everything out, and cooking breakfast, and all of a sudden I hear Tom, well, that's it. My trip's over with.
Why?
I go, what do you mean, you know? Nope, we're done.
Okay, well, I can hear can Tom's
you
give like,
me? Yeah, you know exactly how he is, right? I mean, the poor guy just put $1 million. Yeah, $1 million. Probably that's not a huge exaggeration. No, but right. And I know a million hours of time to get his Bronco back together for this trip. I mean, beautiful rough stuff axles. I mean, you just look at them; they just you could sit there and stare at those axles for an hour and a half, and just they're just awesome, and. You know, all new drive shafts and brakes and, you know, this coilover
new
suspension
tires,
and links, brand new tires, Method freaking wheels. I mean, some killer componentry.
Badass Bronco.
Yeah. And anyway, so Tom's one of my best friends, known him forever. And we've done a lot of crazy four wheeling and dirt biking and snowmobiling and whatever else motorsports together. And so anyways, I go, okay, calm down. I ain't working on the damn thing. So then I go and grab some of Robert's crew because, you know, they got similar axles.
Right.
And stuff. And I said, hey, what could that be to, you know, we got to tear into it, obviously. Okay. So then Tom started taking the wheel off and we started looking at it and the upper Dana 60 kingpin.
Right.
It's a cone. Bolt. It's a cone bolt. It's right. A huge freaking bolt. Broke. Sheared off. Done.
And they don't break.
And so the, you know, the sheared off bolt portions flush down in there. So now you got to get that out.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, the other part. So we're asking around, does anybody have this? Well, I got, you know, Robert, I got four of those in my shop in Winnemucca. You know, oh, yeah, I got some.
No help.
I might have that in my toolbox. You know, so everybody's scrambling through their parts bins and stuff they brought to see if they have it. Nobody had it. So in the meantime, I'm on the horn calling all our mutual friends down in Sacramento going, hey, this is the part we need. And I had limited cell service. So I was using other people's cell phones and stuff. And like, hey, right. Call back on this number. Don't call my number. So long story short, I ended up getting a hold of Justin from Meadow Cloak. And he called around. And West Coast Differential had not one, but two sets.
Nice.
Rebuild sets, which had this pin in it that we needed, the kingpin bolt. And so it worked out. That was Saturday afternoon. You know, so it was like getting close to that 3 o'clock hour by this point.
Right.
2-3 o'clock hour where places that are open are only open till 2 or 3.
Right, right.
On a Saturday. And so anyways, got the parts in hand to a buddy of ours, Ray, that was coming up Sunday morning. So perfect. So we got everything torn apart. We were able to get the stud out of the axle, the C. Mm-hmm. And really good. Everybody that's worked on stuff has snapped off bolts before, and there's a lot of different techniques. But the technique that works best.
What did you drill it? And
no,
use an easy
that's the common way, right? That a lot of people try. But it's you're dealing with hardened steel,
right?
And you better have a damn good drill bit. Trust and of course, your easy outs are hardened. But I've snapped off several easy outs over the years. So, we were able to get in there with a grinder, a cutoff wheel, and make a groove that would catch a chisel, and then you just chisel it and start hammering it around to loosen
on
it.
On the broken
sheared-off bolt.
You didn't end up doing any damage to the house?
No. Mm-mm.
Good.
And so you basically unscrew the bolt out with a chisel and a hammer.
How long did that take?
It went pretty quick, actually.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
So we had everything apart, clearing, and we're looking at this. And all these guys that run these big tires, I mean, over 42-inch tires, that's the smallest tire in that camp. I don't know. Maybe 44 was the smallest in their camp.
The big tires.
None of them's ever broken that pin. And, you know, and then Justin's calling around all the people and go, how'd you break that? Nobody breaks that. Well, leave it to Tom to break it. And he didn't do anything hard.
It had to be defective.
Had to be a defective part. Something torqued wrong, who knows, but
did all that get assembled by the people that built the axle, or did Tom do
Tom had to put it together.
Okay.
So, but you know, still, it shouldn't have broke. I mean, it was a huge monster bolt. It wasn't some quarter inch.
Well, fortunately, you were able to get the part. Fortunately, there was no, you know, ancillary damage to the axle. He was able to fix it and get back on the trail for the rest of the trip.
Exactly. So, he felt better once we got everything apart and located the part that we needed.
Right.
And then, you know, the next morning they arrived and we put everything back together, and his Bronco worked great the rest of the
Ray
week.
Ray was driving a Ford and he actually made it?
Ray went and bought a brand new Ford. Well, new to him. It was a 2018.
It made it.
It made it. Wow. Yeah. Well, it made it in style too.
Uh-huh.
F-250, four-door, crew cab, long bed, nice truck. And the diesel, of course.
Got to have a diesel.
And he was towing his 4Runner, the window licker, we call it, up Highway 80. And him and his wife there, Crystal. It was Crystal's birthday on Sunday.
Nice.
So we had her tent all decorated and a bunch of balloons in there for her upon her arrival.
She's, what, 29?
Yeah. It's, yeah, 24, 25, something like that. She's old enough to drink. I know that.
Oh, there you go. That's all that matters.
So anyways, so they get into to camp. Oh, I should back up.
Uh-oh.
There was an accident. There was an accident on Saturday night. Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I heard about evening. That. Scary stuff.
So, yeah. We've got some people missing from our camp. Didn't know where they went. And
so, I saw the posts on, I think it was NorCal 4x4.
Oh, really?
About, you know, that. And anyway, I just... So it freaked me out, and I started texting you.
When did you see the post?
That was on sometime on Saturday. I think it was NorCal 4x4. There was a picture of a helicopter landed. Anyway, I'm going to let you tell the story.
Holy smokes.
But that's why I started texting you and saying, dude, is this some part of our group or your group?
No, so we're, you know, helicopters come in usually midweek, like Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday to check the dam.
Right.
There'll be one chopper that comes in every week.
Right.
And brings personnel in to check the dam, you know, adjust any flows if they need to, whatever.
Contracted by PG&E.
Yeah. So this was late, you know, it was dusk.
Okay.
And the sun was going down. And the chopper flying in, I look up, I'm like, well, that's too late to be PG&E 1-2. That's a police chopper. That ain't good.
CHP bird.
And so they're starting to circle over, you know, the road going out, Meadow Lake Road.
Uh-huh.
And land. And then within 10 minutes, CalStar comes in. Uh-oh. And lands. And I'm like, okay, this is not good.
Right.
We got people missing from camp.
Right.
You know, of course, we're thinking the worst. And so we're freaking out a bit. Now, we had ham communication with some other friends that were on their side-by-sides at the top of Lacey Peak.
This was the Lacey Peak trip?
Well, some people were up there. So Brian was up there, and Jesse, Uncle Jesse, were up there. So I had communication with Brian.
Okay.
And I said, hey, go down and see what's going on. See who it is, you know. Well, I mean, fortunately, it wasn't our group, but unfortunately, it was a woman on a quad with no helmet that rolled and was not doing well.
Was she camped at Meadow Lake?
Yes. She was camped at Meadow Lake, had a dog, had a guy friend. We don't know what the relationship was or whatever. You know, you just never assume anything nowadays.
Right.
And so so they picked up, Brian and Uncle Jesse picked up the dog. And they exchanged phone numbers and said, hey, we'll watch your dog tonight. Because obviously she was going off in life flight.
Right.
So that was cool. So they flew her to Reno Hospital.
Okay.
And so it's about 6:30 the next morning, you know, Brian's getting a phone call. Hey, this is so-and-so, you know, you got my dog. Oh, yeah. You know, where are you guys? Oh, we're camped over here. And okay, I'll be there shortly. And she ended up only breaking a few ribs and getting bruised up.
Man, that's
so
lucky.
Super lucky.
We've had tragedy up there.
Super lucky. Yeah. We've had other people roll and have accidents that
Absolutely.
Had to get life flighted out and punctured lungs. And
it's a
remote area.
It's a remote area. And, you know, people think that they can get off road or they're off the beaten path and they can do whatever they want. But, you know, you got to respect those forest roads. You got to drive safely and responsibly.
Yeah. It's a gravel road and with the water bars. And then you got the washboard area. You hit that washboard at speed and it'll send you sideways in a minute.
And then you're done.
You hit brakes or something. You're done. Yeah. You just slide out of
control. All I can say is anybody that drives on forest roads, whether it's Meadow Lake Road or any of the other roads, you got to respect those
Absolutely.
Roads and drive slowly and safely and arrive at your destination in one piece. Seriously.
That's right. So they came back to camp, but we were still missing people. So it still didn't explain where our people were. No ham radio communication. Cell phone's not working.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, I was just getting ready to hop into the buggy to go on a rescue mission. Because I got the good ham radio in that one, and I could cover ground.
And you got emergency lights.
And I got emergency lights. I got my chase lights and stuff on there. Hell yeah. Got my Sasquatch lights.
And a light bar.
I got a light bar. Those light bars work great, by the way. Anyways, so I was just getting in, just got it started, and they came running over. Hey, we just got a hold of them on their phone. They're on their way back. I'm like, okay, okay.
Good, good.
So they came back into camp and then had some charming news to share that they got engaged.
Woo!
So congratulations, Taylor and Alexis. I know they listen to the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't know. Still question your judgment, both of you, for wanting to marry each other, but whatever.
I love Alexis. She's awesome.
She's great.
She hates Taylor's me, great, but
you know, marriage is an institution for people that need to be institutionalized.
I'm telling you. I've been in that institution for 20 plus years. So anyway.
So congratulations.
Definitely. Congratulations.
It went from a low drama, high drama scene to a super happy popping bottles of champagne and drinking heavily evening celebrating. So that was cool.
Well, it could have been a quick engagement and a quick marriage. You could have married him right then and there.
I could have married him right there.
Bam,
well, I did have some services, so let's roll into Sunday now.
Oh, there we go.
The party's just getting going, Chris.
This is going to be a long
episode. We might have to break this up into three parts or something. We can't do the two-part podcast every week Tyler and Jimmy are doing over there at Snail Trail. But
this is an expose on Jason's life with wheeling interspersed.
Yes. So now, here we go. Sunday.
Rams versus the Bears.
So, are you ready for some football? No. So, Ray rolls in a new truck with parts.
Woohoo! So Ray's grab parts, savior.
We get everything back together, and as Crystal's birthday, she makes the best Jello shots, by the way.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, so she brought some to help celebrate her birthday, and we...
She had to bring her birthday party favors?
Because she does the best. I mean, that's the problem. When you do something well, everybody wants you to bring it every time. Or do it, or whatever it may be that your thing is that you do contribute to the party.
Do that thing that you do.
Do that thing. Do that voodoo that you do so well.
What's that from?
Oh, come on now, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that's right,
greatest
Blazing
movie
Saddles.
Of all time.
I'm just having a moment.
I got so many other movie quotes going for Blazing Saddles right now, but it's I'm going to refrain.
A
I'm going to
stay. I had a moment, a senior moment.
You did. So we, you know, got them settled in and everything and had lunch, and then we went out and did some touring and had just a blast around. We might have gone down Windchill 5 and played a little bit.
This is Sunday.
So, and then some of our friends had to leave Sunday.
Bummer.
Mike and Deb were up there for just a Friday, Saturday night. They had to leave Sunday.
Why?
But at least they made it.
Vacation and stayed longer.
Well, at least they made it. So then Sunday evening, now we got Robert and Donna's crew from Washington, Oregon.
They full strength now?
They're almost 100%. They're close. Not quite, but almost 100% at this point. Well, I guess, yeah, Sunday night. They were damn near 100%. We were 100% minus one couple that had to leave. So Kobe and Alicia was celebrating 25 years.
25?
Of institutionalized, I mean, marriage. They asked me in advance to renew their vows up there at Meadow Lake. And so I said, okay, you know. So we went out to the meadow with the lake in the background. And I said a few words, and I had my tuxedo shirt on.
Did you say y'all?
I did not say y'all. Kobe did, I think.
So is there a different procedure for renewing vows versus an actual marriage?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I just, you know, with the power invested in me by William J. LePetitmaine.
Oh, no.
There's another little Blazing Saddles quote. So, no, I just, you know, we just said some words. It's just a gathering of friends to,
nice.
For them to, you know, reconfirm that they still want to be together another 25 years or whatever.
Y'all may kiss your bride.
Yeah. So, and then they said some words, and then I just kind of wrapped it up. So it was short and sweet. It was great. Popped a little bottle of bubbly, and of course, it was another excuse to have a good time that night and imbibe and,
yeah, like
and eat a ton of food and drink a lot of good
hooch,
good adult beverages.
Nice.
So now Monday. Oh, Monday geez. Mornings, which usually suck.
Monday. You got a case of the Mondays.
No, did not have a case of the Mondays. Do we have to say all our movie quotes here in the show credits?
Yeah, right?
Office Space. So, trail day. So, we're all excited. We're loading up our rigs in the morning. Our goal was to be out of camp at 9 because we were just doing a river run. Down 5-4-3 to Committee Crossing. Have lunch down there, renew Robert and Donna's vows.
And all the rigs are well set up.
Oh, God, yeah. So, Tom led the pack. You know, he's you know, we said we're going to meet at 9. He's down on trail at 8:15 already heading down the trail. You know how he is.
Yeah, I do.
So, he was gone. A couple other rigs followed him down. Kobe went down with his rig. He's been working on his...
No issues with Kobe's rig?
No, I don't remember any. There was no issues.
Well, that's good. I mean, what did he say about the trail, if you don't mind?
Well, let's just say that he made it to the top of Windshield 3 and stopped there.
Oh, he didn't go down the rest of the
way.
Well,
he went down the rest of the way, but they walked.
Oh, shit. That's all. But pretty, wait, this is pretty long.
There's a lot going on this day. So let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
So there is a cool container house right there off to the right of Windshield 5, right?
Right, yeah.
So I've seen it. It's been there for 6+ years or so. Mm-hmm. Never seen the inside. Heard stories about it. The owners were up there.
Well, were they?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So got to meet the owners on Sunday.
Okay.
When we did our little tour around, you know, and they were there. And they were in camp the night before and invited us over. Said, hey, we're having a little open house Sunday. Come on by.
Nice.
Like, yeah, open house up at Meadow Lake. Sweet.
Don't twist my arm.
So anyway, super cool. She's a Bay Area gal down here. And so I exchanged information with her and was talking about the, you know, how cool it is and how they came up with the concept and all this stuff. So anyways, now fast forward back to Monday morning. She texted me that morning, and I had service enough to where I got the text, and she sent a picture. There was a fire on the trail. And
right. I saw you post me about that.
But yes. So we're like, oh, boy. And, I mean, you look. It was right in the canyon. I'm like, that's the trail. And so we get to the top of 5, and, yeah, sure enough, there's a fire going. It looks like a big campfire, not like crazy out-of-control forest fire, but like a big campfire.
So it was lower than Committee?
Oh, well, it looked like it was somewhere near Committee, and it ended up being right near Committee.
Okay.
So, you know, we start heading down, but now we're kind of having second thoughts because if this thing blows up, I mean, there's one way in, one way out on this trail, and it's not like, you know, you can... Well, the buggies can go pretty fast back up the trail, but, you know, it was like, we don't need to be chasing this thing.
No.
But as we got closer, we could see a helicopter started dropping water on it.
Oh, okay.
They did 5 or 6 drops. We had a buddy that was up at the mountain above us with ham communication, so he was giving us the play-by-play. And then they dropped a ground crew in there, 3 guys with chainsaws. And these hot shots that went
shovels
in and started,
and
yeah, and started working the fire and back feeding it and everything. And so
that's hard work, man.
Yeah. We get to the top of Windshield 3 and we can see the chopper, you know, and it's close. I mean,
okay.
I'm like, man, it's right below us, guys. And so, you know, we all made it down 3 and stuff and then headed down there. And, sure enough, I mean, we could see flames and
Whoa.
It was just beyond Committee.
Okay, so past on the other side of the river crossing?
On the other side of the river, but you know, down from Committee, maybe just like 200-300 yards. I mean, it was pretty close to Committee crossing.
So, wow. So, it was probably a campfire that somebody left.
I have to assume, I mean, unless there was dry lightning, I don't know,
no,
a squirrel
come on,
farted
man.
And started some tinder on fire. I don't know.
So
I don't know.
Public service announcement from episode 15: how to make sure your campfire is right. out. I mean, right. we're going to assume. I'm going to assume. And
well, I sent because down there I had a great service.
Okay.
And so I was sending photos and video to our friends, you know, associated with Friends of Fordyce, Art and John and them, and you know, Art was starting to do making some phone calls to Tahoe National Forest District, you know, Cal Fire, all that stuff to see, but apparently it was such a minor event that they're like, no, we got it under control, and I don't know if they were going to investigate or what.
Should
or
have been
whatever.
A non-event.
Yeah, I haven't followed back with him. I got to circle back on that and see. But anyway, so this, I mean, we're watching, you know, firefighters are like waving back at us. I mean, we were that close.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Crossing for the committee crossing.
How you guys doing? How y'all doing?
Is everything good? And they're like, nah, we got this under control. We called off the airstrike. We're good. And I'm like, okay. So we all had lunch and, you know, we had a big group down there. It was a blast. And everybody made it down without effort. Kobe's rig was at the top of three because he didn't want to push anywhere. I mean, you saw the trail. It's
it's stupid.
It's crazy.
And he had the smallest tires probably of everybody
did.
In the group.
He did. Yeah. And but, you know, his Jeep did fine getting down there. And he just called it, which was probably a good call. And came down with us down there.
You guys didn't cross the river.
No, we didn't cross the river. So we did the ceremony right in front. Off to the side, so the river was in the background.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so, you know, again, said a few words. Robert and Donna said a few words and thanked everybody for coming out. And I mean, it was really cool because when we were talking about doing this months ago, I go, you know, who's invited? And they're like, anybody that can make it down, you know, the trail.
You can't make it, you ain't invited.
That's right. That's right. If you got a rig to make it down there, then you're invited.
So I wasn't invited.
No. No, you don't even wheel anymore, do you?
I don't wheel anymore.
Okay. No. So, yeah, so we had people from Oregon, Washington. Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, I just said, fuck it.
Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and then, of course, all us California folk. So,
right.
We had the Western United States pretty well covered. It was
perfect.
Great. So, that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, there's an area to play right there at committee.
We
went up part of it when we came out of the water crossing. So, you got all that crazy jagged rock to play
on. Vertical, Mav.
And then there was a granite slab that was at a you know, very steep incline. And I told myself, and I told you after running the trail and stuff that we did for Saturday committee and
right.
up and down during trek, I said, you know, I'm looking forward to next week to trying some of these buggy lines and stuff now that I'm feeling more comfortable in the buggy and running with this crew that can fix anything, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, we had welders, we had all our power tools, we had everything, and we weren't going to leave anybody on trail that night.
No.
So, of course, they start playing and trying to climb up these crazy slabs, you know, all four tires.
This is still
spinning.
Down by committee.
This is at committee. This is right after
there's a lot
the ceremony.
Of places.
We're just playing, yeah. having a good time. People are watching. So, we're sitting there watching, and Roberts and his big rig just, you know, hammering up this hill and, you know, crawling up. So he made it up this line. Another guy made it up. And my buddy Dan was down there from Utah. And he's got an S10, or it used to be an S10. It's just a tubed out.
Right.
You know, rock buggy now with a shell of a body cab. But he's not afraid of the skinny pedal. It's on or off. And he, as he puts it, gives it the onion.
The onion.
Give it the onion.
And then, rip.
And then he was there's another guy that wheels with him named Steve. He's great. He's so, you know, subtle, sarcastic, funny as hell guy. And, you know, so Dan's over there, hit it with Steve's purse, you know, get it up the hill. So we're having a blast over there. So I get the buggy up on this steep ass line and start smoking all four tires. Those stickies started getting hot.
And that's when they really start to
hook up. And then, man, talk about hookup. I almost climbed it in two-wheel drive because when I was reaching to shift, I pulled out my front axle.
Uh-huh.
And I put it into neutral.
Oops.
And I was climbing back up. I immediately knew that it was out because I could tell my front tires weren't spinning. And I was starting to make it with just two-wheel rear. And I'm like, okay. And then I popped the front axle and boop, popped right up over the top. And I'm like, I didn't think I was going to make that, you know?
Wow.
So then Robert points me up some ridiculous other whole off camber crazy thing. So I played on there for a good, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Cool.
But I didn't make it. I tried.
Did you have a ride seat at this point?
No, nobody was riding with me at this moment. Taylor rode down with me.
Okay.
And so Tom's son there. And so we had fun all the way down doing that. And it's like, okay, he was filming. So there's some good video.
Oh, good.
So now we start working our way back up the trail. And I said, hey, are you guys going to play on Windchill 3? Oh, of course.
You got to.
Because I'm like, I want to try the original trail line. Got to give it a whirl.
Was that XJ still on there?
No. I expected it to be there when we drove back down, but it wasn't. Trail was clear. We didn't see a soul out there.
Nice.
All week. It was great. So, Dan gets in there, you know, with his S10 buggy-esque rig and just hammering, trying to find a line, working it.
On the right side.
On the normal trail where the actual trail is supposed to be.
The V-notch. Yeah.
And the pillow line's in there and shit, right? Like, okay. And he's working it hard and doesn't make it. But before him, there's one guy that made it in our group.
Tom?
Nope. Tom didn't even try.
Ray?
Nope. Nobody. I shouldn't say our group, but within our that Nevada.
I
think they're from Washington. Actually, I think he's from Oregon. Anyways, he has this little moon buggy with four wheel steering. The rear axle turns 50 freaking degrees.
What?
Oh, it's stupid. And he worked it, but he made it. But because he was able to work those rear tires and grab some of that granite slab wall and get some traction and then pivot back. I mean, it was fun to watch, but that's the only rig to make it up.
So it's true to its name. It's gnarly as hell. And
oh God. Yeah. So of course I had to try.
What was his wheelbase? Just out of curiosity.
It was somewhere, if I had to guess, I would say it's somewhere in the 105 range.
So shorter than your range.
Yeah, but very nimble. I mean, that thing was just, you know, crazy. It was a moon buggy.
Dig in with rear tires on an angle. That's key.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That rear steer. Holy smokes. So, you know, of course, then I had to try after Dan, and I was trying all kinds of different lines. Tom's in there pointing out, you know, everybody had an idea, and we were trying it all, and nothing worked. I had that thing wedged in there pretty good a few times, but was able to move under my own power, never had to get winched or anything like that, but couldn't make it. And then Austin comes in, Tom's youngest son, you know, the Coast Guard muscle man here, and just starts throwing rocks, you know, trying to get this one hole filled in.
So I thought he was going to drive his rig in.
Almost made it. I was near the top. I thought, oh my God, I got it. And then slipped off the rock and I was done.
Bummer.
So I'm like, damn it. All right. So Taylor's riding with me at this point.
Okay.
And so I back down and I go, I don't know. At that point, I was just having so much fun. The buggy was working well, but I was frustrated that I didn't make it up three. But, you know, what the heck? So you remember podcast we were talking about how there's like four lines?
Yes.
That I determined there's four lines on, you know, you got the line I was just talking about, the original trail.
Right.
The pillow line that's inside that original line where you go up the granite slab on the left.
Yes.
Wall. And then you've got what's now the trail, which they're calling the bypass line now, which is no frickin' picnic.
Nope.
And then there's the far left that we were talking about, I think back in episode 14.
Yes.
And what did I say about that line?
It's no joke.
Stupid.
It's stupid.
I couldn't believe there was tire tracks on it.
That's right.
That it made back door look like the doggy door, side door, front door.
The doggy door.
That gravity works on that line, is in full effect on that line.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I tried it.
How'd that work out for you?
Not good. Not good.
No.
So that's the end of the podcast today, folks. Join in next time for episode 17.
You want me to put a nipple on that cup or what?
No, well, I'm over here talking this whole time. I'm only on Monday here, but so yeah, I found the limits.
You did, huh?
I found the limits of the buggy.
Did you tumble? Uh-huh.
No, I didn't tumble.
Oh.
I didn't tumble.
Okay.
So we started crawling up, and there's like a crack there that I threw the tire in, and it felt good. I mean, it climbed, no problem. It was like climbing up. I'm like, okay. And we started, the rear tires got in the hole, and I mean, I was going super slow, just feeling it out.
Did anybody else try that line?
There was Steve did. Steve did in his buggy, but he like just stuck his nose in it and then, you know, gave it a look, and then he backed out right away.
See the guy with the four-wheel steer?
No. No, oh, okay. He wasn't four-wheel steer. Okay. He has the soccer mom engine in his buggy. We call it the soccer mom motor. It's got like a little 4.3 van engine in it.
Oh,
soccer
yeah.
mom van gotcha. Engine. It's great.
Perfect.
But he does extremely well in that buggy.
I'm sure.
So I'm like, after seeing him go over there and try, I'm like, I got to go just see. And I saw, and then I saw Sky.
Uh-huh.
We were ready for launch, straight up and down. Actually, past vertical. I was past vertical.
Well, that's not good.
And it stopped. It didn't roll over backwards. It should have.
Uh-huh.
Only one thing saved me.
What's that?
My Coleman ice chest on the back. Did you see the ice chest on the way in?
No, I missed that.
Yo, you did. You're going to have to check out this ice chest. It was one of those stainless steel, the nice stainless steel ones.
Uh-huh.
Don't you have one of those?
Mine's green, but
yeah. Oh, I might need to borrow that from you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crumpled, but it kept me from rolling over. Literally kept me from rolling over backwards.
Hashtag Coleman cooler.
Hashtag, I'm going to send a story, this whole story to Coleman with photos and say, your cooler saved my ass.
There it is.
So I did lose a damage report was I broke my driver's side mirror, just a little, you know, side-by-side mirror.
Uh-huh.
But I have an extra one in the garage, so that was no big deal.
No loss.
A little scratch, just barely grazed the cage on the granite as I was tilting back, and uh-huh. it was very slow. And then I lost about a quart and a half of oil.
Motor oil.
Motor oil came out of the intake.
Because
I was straight up and down.
Oh, okay.
So you got oil in the valleys there, and it came out the intake. And so, you know, we're sitting there, and I'm like, you got to get photos, right? So we're sitting straight up and down. I mean, I'm like ready for space shuttle launch here.
Ground control.
But I wasn't going anywhere. And by that time, they had a winch line hooked on me, so I knew I wasn't going to slide or move anymore.
Okay.
And so... they start pulling me down, but even when I got down on the rock, I mean, it's still so steep,
uh-huh.
you know, that I was like, okay, we're going to have to dead pull this thing because I really don't want to try and start the engine with the oil coming out of the intake. I don't know if this thing's hydrolocked or not, you know, if we're going to bend a rod. So, and I look back and I see some oil and stuff on the ground. So I said, hey, I got a spill kit. Remember? Talked about spill kit.
Spill kit.
Well, you know what? Came in handy.
There you go.
We pulled the spill kit out, absorbed the oil, bagged it all up.
Perfect.
Had everything. I mean, we had people cleaning that up right away, which everybody jumped in.
That's responsible wheeling right there.
Of course, there was a lot of heckling, a lot of jokes going on.
I'm sure there was.
Oh, you know, but it was all fun. So Taylor and I are still on the rig, you know, right? And we're both fine. I did get a little cut, though, on my... right side of my face near the ear from the ham radio. Well, had to be the only thing that I just kind of bumped into a little bit.
You got
to
put the four-point harness on, man.
Well, I was fine. That seatbelt held me in totally fine.
I'm sure it did.
And I reached up as soon as I went back and shut off the engine, did all the stuff you're supposed to do, tried to grab and pull my arms in against my chest and everything because I thought for sure we were going to land on our lid, but we didn't.
Well,
so thank you, Coleman. Coolers.
Hashtag Coleman
Hashtag
coolers.
Yeti sucks.
Whoa.
I don't know. Maybe a Yeti would have done okay. I don't know. But this was impressive. So we get the winch lines on, start pulling it, and I get at a more comfortable angle now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, my buddy's all, hey, just give it a bump and see. And it fired. And then I shut it off right away. Because it looked like I lost more oil than I did. I only lost like a quart and a half. Plus, I have that AccuSump. So I have like 9 quarts of oil in this motor. So, we got it level and I gave it a bump and it's fired right off. Oil pressure came right back up. Everything was good. Smoking a bit.
Oh, yeah. I saw
out
that.
Out the left side bank, but, she ran good.
That got all burned off and it's not cooking oil.
Burned
anymore.
Off right away. You know, of course we had our moments and laughs up there and everybody, gathered up, we cleaned up the mess, and then headed back to camp.
And what did you do at camp?
I don't know.
More adult beverages?
I think so. Yeah, so we had a good run back up. Got, you know, Kobe's rig was right there, the top of three, so he hopped back in and then drove out. And, I mean, going back up four, you know, is no picnic. A winch hill three and a half was no picnic. So he was a couple rigs ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
But he made it up. Didn't have to winch him or anything like that, so that was cool. So, yeah, we got back to camp, and, of course, there was a lot of stories and stuff to be told, a lot of photos getting shared and all that. So it was fun. So I did exactly what I wanted to do, was push the limits and see. I was feeling so comfortable in that seat, and it performed great.
Cool.
No, it didn't. No, it still performed well, but it...
Well, there's a limit to everything.
Well, exactly. And, you know, being in that full cage and everything, right. I mean, it was, you know... pretty safe if you're not doing anything super stupid.
Everything has its limits.
So, yeah. And then, so Tuesday was a chill day, you know, after the bear came into camp and destroyed my cooler and put a dent in Ray's rig.
What the hell,
yeah, Ray? His ass backed right up to right behind his driver's side door panel and just put a huge old dent in
on
it.
On his new truck?
No, on the window licker.
Oh, the Toyota.
The yellow 4Runner. We got up to windchill 5, and I was at the bottom.
This is still Monday?
This is still Monday. Okay. Going back to Monday. And the freaking, he's right at the very top, center line. He went up the center, you know, made it up that, which is not easy, but
and his rig's built.
It's built. It's got 38s and tons, and, you know, he's still got that little 22RE there grinding away. But he went into that hole that gets everybody at the top of 5. Slid into it and landed on his driver's side and put a nice big dent in his body.
Nice.
So he had, I think, well, there definitely was 2 wheels in the air from my vantage point, but I'm pretty sure the driver's front wheel was in the air too. The passenger side wheels were in the air.
Is his rig yellow?
It's yellow.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. That's the yellow Toyota sushi line. The sushi roll line.
Sushi roll.
I think it has something to do with the yellow Toyotas there.
You weren't driving it this time.
I wasn't driving. I was nowhere near it. And that's what people said. Oh, that's the first time you rolled your rig for a change. Thanks for pointing that out. Sorry, Ed.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, we... so, of course... Oh, and then here's the other cool thing. So, Tom, on his new Bronco build... When we were in Moab a couple years ago, we bought those rigid lights that hold the GoPro camera in the front. Those things are super cool. The light output is remarkable for the size of the thing. And then you've got the camera in the center that you can turn on and off.
Right.
So he had the remote on his dash, and he goes, I think I got the roll on the GoPro.
Cool.
I go, no way. And sure enough, he did. He had it filming going up 5, and where he was parked, we were watching the video, and he wasn't in the right position. You know, Ray went out of the picture, and then Tom pulled up just enough, so he caught it all on film.
Nice.
So we did get that one on film. My rollover was all aftermath. There was a video right when I was at the peak, and then from then on.
That's BS, man. Everybody knew.
Well, it was such a slow roll, there really wasn't anything to see.
Yeah, but still, we got to get a video of him trying, because he's going to do it. Anyway, well, that's cool. I'm really starting to really be sad that
I
missed
kinda
all this
there.
Stuff.
You're living vicariously here,
I guess. And the podcast. Lorenzo is telling me all about it, and you know,
yeah, he was glad he wasn't in the rig that day.
I bet
his ass would have been scared.
Well, he's on crutches right now for some reason.
So then the next day, this is Tuesday now. We're in camp, and so the next morning, I got my cup of coffee. I'm up early. And people are starting to walk around, get the campfire going and everything, right? Go about getting ready for breakfast. And I go, hey, did you guys see the bear in camp? Bear? There was a bear in camp last night? I'm like, yeah, a big bear. You guys didn't see it? No, didn't see it. I said, yeah, look what it did to my cooler. And it backed its ass into Ray's rig. Because our rigs were parked right next to each other. We were camped near each other, right? So that was the joke. It was a big bear.
Damn bears.
I know. So, bears. Hung out by the lake and just, you know, I licked my wounds and added a little oil to the buggy, cleaned the air filter.
There you go.
And we were ready to ride again.
Did you guys wheel on Tuesday?
Well, we did a run. I mean, we drove every day somewhere, you know, just touring around typical. And stuff. But we didn't wheel per se. We didn't go back down on the trail.
Okay.
Wednesday... we went to our shooting spot, you know, the best shooting spot ever for clay pigeons
little,
and stuff out over the
trap.
Valley.
Uh-huh.
So went out there and blasted through some shotgun rounds, exercised our freedom of,
Second
of guns, Second Amendment. It's awesome. And then the handguns came out, and we set up our handgun range. You know, we got our Olson was there.
Oh, Olson.
Our range master.
Our range master, yep.
So he keeps everybody safe. Anything that, if he sees somebody doing something unsafe, he calls you on it right away, which is great.
He's no BS.
Yep. you know, only two people on the line. They're separated. They're you know, all squared up to each other. They're not staggered where somebody could, you know, do something stupid. All arms come back with the, you know, action open.
Correct.
You know, not loaded to the table, and he inspects them all. So it's cool. Yeah,
safety first.
Yes. So there was some cool handguns that came out, some big 45s and, you know,
Kobe's 40s.
I don't know. There's just all kinds of guns on a table. And
Phil, was Phil there?
Phil was not there.
Oh,
Phil,
man,
who?
I want to shoot his 44 Magnum.
Yeah. So there was some really nice, I mean, Sig Sauers, Berettas, and Kimber. And I mean, there's some really nice, nice guns. So that was cool. I actually got a lesson from Austin on how to hold the gun and my stance. He worked on my stance.
How does he know all this?
Because he's in the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard doesn't shoot.
Well, they learn how to shoot. What do you mean they don't shoot?
They go out on boats.
Part of the military.
They go out on boats.
Well, you gotta be armed.
Okay.
So he went through all the training. So he showed me, and I was accurate. I was knocking down beer cans and hitting bullseyes, and I was feeling good.
All the beer cans are scared now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're holy, that's for sure.
There you go.
So, and then Thursday we went to White Rock Lake. Rock Lake is
a fun
super
place.
Beautiful. I got some really cool photos.
There wasn't any snow over there.
There was snow up on the peaks.
Not on the road.
Nowhere on the road. Nowhere around the lake. But on the peaks, there was still 8-10 foot deep snow drifts.
God, do you remember that year we drove out of White Rock? We had to drive through those drifts to get out of White Rock. That was scary.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think we're going to make it up that hill.
No drifts. But yeah, and there was some people down there. There was some people camping. There was people fishing.
Oh, cool.
A couple of Toyotas that meandered in there with families and stuff. So it was happening at White Rock on a Thursday.
Toyota Prius?
No, it wasn't a Prius. It was a new taco. Newer taco.
Oh, there you go. All right.
And then there was a newer 4Runner.
Okay.
Yeah. They made it down in there.
Cool.
I don't know if they made it back out, but. And then, we had a nice group dinner that night. Our group was dwindling at that point. A lot of people went home, but our group combined with Robert and Donna's group and had a combined pasta feed and stuff.
Oh, cool. So you coordinated at least one meal with the other group.
Yeah, kind of. We're just like, hey, come on over for dinner tonight. And then they brought over a cooler corn. You ever heard of cooler corn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they were telling me about
that. You throw the boiling water
exactly.
into the cooler
so
with
you,
the corn
you clean
in there.
Your,
yeah.
You know, strip down the ears of corn and throw them in a cooler with boiling water for 20 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And then it steams itself in there and off you go.
Absolutely.
So they did that. So that was kind of fun. Something different. So we had spaghetti and corn.
Nice.
Just a good camp. That was a good way to end the trip. And the homemade, Dave made some homemade, spaghetti sauce.
Mm,
oh, and he
makes meat.
Oh yeah. Meat, mushrooms, everything. And then he makes a killer Michigan sauce.
Oh yeah.
So we had the Michigan sauce for lunch
on the dogs
and we did well and
pizza.
We put Michigan sauce on the pizza one day.
Wow. How'd that work?
Because we bring the pizza ovens up. So we could, how'd it work? Freaking fantastic.
Wow.
It was delicious.
I'm sad. I'm even more sad.
You know, we take all our leftovers. Come out. I took the leftover lamb chops and cut them up and put lamb on the pizza. So that was stupid good. We ate well, as
I'm sad.
But, and we mowed through the food pretty good. We didn't have a whole lot of leftovers, which was good. And Dave, this was his first year of kind of taking control of the menu and the shopping list.
So thumbs up. He's going to get the job.
Definitely thumbs up. He's in. I'm out. That's perfect. I love it. So thank you, Dave, for taking care of all that.
Woo, Dave.
So yeah, that kind of wraps up the week of fun there at Meadow Lake, and headed out early Friday morning back to civilization and just trying to do a slow reentry right now.
Back to
really,
reality.
Really slow reentry.
Well, you didn't exactly drive home straight away.
Well, no, I stopped by near your neighborhood was the West Coast Nationals car show. So
good guys.
Yeah, so I grew up in that whole arena, so all our friends and stuff were camped out there. So I rolled in with the rock buggy and the camper all dirty as hell.
Sure, that turned some heads.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of people coming over and asking me about it.
Hey, this is a show on Shine. You can't bring that shit in here.
Where are you going that thing? I go, anywhere I freaking want to go.
Anywhere
that's where I go.
Anywhere I want. Got a problem with that?
That is fun. You got all these, you know, really nice and expensive cars, and then here I am, you know, the ugly duckling that rolls in with this rock buggy that's...
Well, it was on the way.
But it was fun.
Yep, that's cool. Fun.
So, yeah, hooked up with my friends from Mariposa. I think they're going to be listening to the podcast now, so shout out to my Mariposa peeps.
The ranchers. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So we had a blast with them. Ate some of their ranch raised beef last night. Delicious
barbecued steak.
Yeah,
gotta love it.
I got to sear that up on the griddle and then finish it off on the old barbecue.
Perfect.
Oh, it was delicious. Making me hungry now.
I know, right?
So, anyways. There's more stories that will come out, but as a recap. Ate well, drank well, was on the trail several times.
Had fun.
Stood it on end. Had a blast.
Had fun.
End of story. Ready to go back up there.
Whoop. There it is. Well.
Sad things rolling up the hot tub. That's when you just know the trip's over with, you know?
Man,
when you're packing the hot tub in.
Your contribution. So, I saw a little blurb in the news that Barrett Lake is open.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. And I verified it.
Did you verify it?
I did, and we're trying to get a date set here.
Well, how
are you going to go?
If we get a date set, are you going to take the CJ or the buggy?
What do you think I should take?
Should we
have the listeners chime in on which I should take? Because they both would be great.
Well, we had the CJ packed to the gills with our stuff. The buggy, I don't know.
Made arrangements for Window Liquor and the Bronco to carry some of my extra gear the buggy.
Okay. Well,
there's options.
All right. See, I mean, we got to see because we have some other commitments in September. But
I definitely want to do that trail once, if not twice, before it closes up. Trying to get we need to call the old Snail Trail boys and see.
Exactly.
But Tyler, I mean, I don't know what the state of his rig is at this point. I'm assuming he has some wiring to do before he goes out on trail.
He said he got the wiring squared away.
Okay, good.
So he got it running.
But he has no spare parts.
He has no spare parts,
nothing,
camping equipment. But he has tools, so that I'm not going to...
Well, we got plenty of tools and stuff.
Right.
So, and it's a Toyota, so some baling wire, duct tape, and bubble gum, we can fix it out on the trail, no problem.
Maybe electrical tape,
I got
too.
Some toothpicks. If he breaks an axle, we can throw a toothpick in there. You know, stuff like that. We could get him going
for
again.
For sure. So, yeah, so that's big news. Barrett Lake is open, so that's probably, you know, being well enjoyed.
Where is Barrett Lake on your scale? Of trails, favorite trails, your favorite things, your favorite trails.
Well,
you
I haven't
wheel.
Driven it, obviously. But,
I know. You've never driven it at all? Mm-mm. Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. This is
it's,
wheeling,
it's,
wine,
it's
and
it's
whiskey.
It's a tough trail, man. I mean, it's – but I think, you know, honestly, if I was on 35s, I could probably do that trail.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. Where does it rank on your list? Is it number one, number two, top five, top 10?
It's
not even make
five.
The top 20.
It's in the top five.
Okay, there you go. It's the top five.
Easily.
It is. It's
Fordyce, number one. Rubicon, two. Or maybe Fort...
Barrett's
Barrett,
my
two,
number two.
Three is Rubicon.
Yeah, that's mine.
And then Deer Valley. You know, I don't know. I
Doozy's
mean,
number four.
I've not been on Doozy.
But see, then I have my California list, and then I got, like, Moab gets mixed in there if you go top of all time.
Well,
anyways,
I mean, but Barrett, yeah, it's open. So there you go.
It's open. 6 miles in, 6 miles out.
Beautiful.
One way in, one way out.
Lots of hiking.
Make sure your rig's not too wide to fit through the gate. I don't know what
63
the...
63 inch? 64
No, it's
got
to be more than that.
Or is it 80?
It's 80. So I think it's 82 or 83.
Oh, yeah.
But you can go to the website, Highlanders, four-wheel drive club. You look up their website. They have a banner on the top of their page that you can click on about Barrett Lake Trail. That is their adopted trail. So they're very current with that, you know, trail status, open, closed, anything, you know.
So they're going to be doing maintenance or whatever?
Yep, exactly. So, and then it does talk about the trail and the WISs and, you know, and
right.
You definitely need at least one locker and 35s on that trail.
For sure. The trail's not a joke.
Two lockers definitely helps. There's a couple good sections. The green line.
The green line. I mean, last year going in... just the first 100 yards was gnarly.
That is a true gatekeeper.
Absolutely.
Not only is there physically a gate right there that, you know, you got to fit width-wise through, which,
yes,
you know, with the CJ and stuff, no big deal. The
right.
buggy's going to barely squeeze through. But your rock garden central right there.
Hello. Well, that tree that you got to kind of wrap around that's off camber.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you get it's you lay right into this tree.
But they did that. Rocks. They did that maintenance that weekend, and
they did
made it so it was like paved road.
It was a
out.
Lot easier, but still, yeah, not super easy, but yeah, but not as hard as when we went in.
So it's a nice trail, beautiful scenery. Once you get to camp, you got to get there early because there's not that many campsites. There's some desirable campsites, and then there's the hike up to the airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Airplane wreckage up there.
Neat hike around the lake. Very easy to go around the lake. And
it is by far one of the most picturesque and beautiful lakes I have ever been to anywhere. That thing lights up at night. You know, if you don't have any, even if you do have a few clouds in the sky and stuff, but the reflection off that lake and the golden glow, the oranges and stuff that reflect off the granite, unbelievable. And the fishing's really good.
Yeah,
in the center of that
lake.
You
didn't bring your floaty last year.
I didn't, but that will come. I'll strap that on the top. I'll sleep on that thing if I have to. That will be my pillow for Barrett Lake. I got to bring my float tube.
Perfect. And then I'd be curious to know if that light is still working there at that time.
Yeah, somebody hiked up and put one of those solar lights up there. It's the strangest damn thing, but yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it got blown away this winter.
Oh, maybe. It might have gotten crushed under 500 feet of snow.
I guarantee that she gone.
So,
okay, that's cool. So, Barrett will be upcoming.
Yep.
To be determined. We need to look at the calendar. I got to reconvene. I just unpacked.
Yeah, you're out. You're off the loop.
Everything's filthy dirty. I got cleaning to do all week.
Yep.
I got to get back to work and check on my boys.
Work? Don't say that word.
I know. I'm kind of looking forward to it, though. I mean, I got a fun job.
There you go.
You know, we make the world more beautiful each day.
One yard at a time.
One landscape at a time. But, yeah, so, gosh, and then just clean, 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 and then, yeah.
We got clinic coming up.
Safety clinic's coming up.
Sold out already.
I was just going to promote it.
Sold out.
Done.
We're not going to promote it.
Are we even in? Did we get in, or are we out, too?
I think we might not be able to go.
Am I still teaching? I didn't make it to the last club meeting, so
no, you were off the reservation.
So they are sold out.
Sold out.
The third weekend in September. So what's that? 4 weeks away? Well, next weekend's Labor Day.
It's like 3 weeks.
So 3 weeks away.
Yeah, sold
Holy
out.
Crap.
So if you didn't get in,
sign up for next year. Well, we said year. We did our promo back in May, saying yep. So
if you did get in, we'll see you there. If we can get in, we're in.
I've already been notified.
And we'll be recording.
We'll do a live podcast or a remote podcast from there. I keep saying live. It's not live.
No, it's
technically
not live.
It's a remote podcast.
We could do live.
We're back in the studio today with Lorenzo.
With Lorenzo with a broken leg.
I'm going to have to put him on timeout this week. He needs to. I'm going to have him do my laundry is what I'm going to do. That's going to be part of your punishment, Lorenzo.
Not quite sure what
you
he was up
to. You
can
do all my dirty laundry from a week's worth of camping.
Take our producer up to the mountains. He gets a broken leg, freaking hobbling around. I don't know.
Yeah. Lorenzo might have met somebody last night, too.
Makes an ass of himself everywhere he goes.
You know the dog from, you remember that movie, Something About Mary?
Yes.
Oh, and no. Magda? Magda's dog? Remember, it gets all wrapped up in a cast.
Yeah, yeah, and his licks his nose through the little hole.
Yep. So there was I don't know what that dog's name is, but there was the version of that dog there last night, wrapped up. Not a real dog.
Oh,
but it was a stuffed animal.
A stuffed animal.
And there might be photos with that and Lorenzo.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Are they X-rated?
No, not the ones I took.
Okay, good.
No, I got.
This is a family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Family. No,
it's somewhat.
This is
not a family,
family
podcast.
This is not
you
a
shouldn't
family
listen
podcast.
To this podcast with your kids.
No.
We are not family friendly.
So we've covered excessive drinking in camp. No drinking while
no.
driving.
No, we've
covered lots of food. We've covered wheeling and almost rolling a rig.
Yeah, that was good. It made for a great video. And you know what else? And here's what I said. What did I say all along? So I'm going to give a shout out now. But what did I say last week when we were driving together? I said, I got to get this thing posed on a rock to get a picture of my drive shafts.
There you go. Yeah, did you?
From Steve at South Bay Driveline here in San Jose.
Steve at South Bay Driveline.
So guess what? When your rig's standing straight up and down, you can get some pretty damn good photos of your drive
shafts.
Sure. So I'm going to have to go through and check those out. There's a bunch of photos coming at my phone.
Hashtag that stuff.
And I'm gonna blow it up so Steve can put it on his wall of fame down there at his shop. And show them that the drive shafts, and they did. They worked beautifully. I had no more vibration.
You had no breakage.
No breakage.
Nothing broke on this trip at all.
Other than my driver's side mirror and a Coleman cooler.
But that was a bear.
But see, the funny thing is that I'm pretty bad. People that know me like to push other people's buttons and have some fun. And so I said, "Hey Ray, let me fix the body work on my rig right now." And I just pull my cooler off.
Nice.
So don't you wish you could do that with your 4Runner?
Nice.
He felt bad. It sucks, you know.
It's a rock truck.
It'll force him to do an exo cage now is all it's going to do. You know, all this stuff has cause and effect.
We'll hook him up with Eddie. He'll help him out. Maybe even he can cut his top off and whatnot. Yeah. You know, get a little. So,
what do you got? I'm going to let you talk for a while. I got to get caught up here. On my beverage.
We may think it, but Chris is gonna say it.
You know what really pisses me off?
Oh, the rant. Here we go.
I've got a pretty good one this week.
Okay, all right. I'm all ears.
It was
Lorenzo's
close.
All ears.
It happened. Almost happened.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
So, I really need to... I try to understand why people feel the need to drive through parking lots like assholes.
Okay.
So I was at Lowe's the other day picking up some stuff for work near my house in Livermore.
Right.
And people drive – they come off of the road and they drive through that parking lot. There's a Safeway next door. And they drive through that parking lot. It's a fucking expressway.
Really? And they're cutting through stalls?
Not stalls, but it's just that main – between the store and the parking lot area.
Right.
It's like a road to these people. And I had just come out of the store. I got my bag of goodies.
Shopping cards. Yeah.
I don't have a shopping cart. I just have my bag of goodies. And this BMW – so this is a twofer.
Oh, boy.
This guy in a BMW comes ripping through the parking lot. He had to be doing 30-plus.
Really?
And he almost hit me.
While you're walking with your bag
with my bag of goodies. And he had his windows down, and he goes, and I said, "Slow the fuck down."
Nice. And
he kept on going. Just like a true BMW driver.
Wow.
You know, I was just like, dude, seriously, what if there were kids that had bolted out in front of me?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few things that piss me off. Well, there's a lot of things that piss me off.
I was going to say, there's more than a few.
So. But when you're in a parking lot, especially in a parking lot where there's a Home Depot or a Lowe's or a supermarket, any parking lot really, but there's a Chili's on the other side, there's a lot of kids running around.
Okay.
Don't treat the parking lot like a fucking road. I mean, seriously, your life is going to be destroyed. The person you hit, because you are going to hit somebody eventually, is going to be destroyed. It's pointless. So when you're in a parking lot, 10 miles per hour and pay attention
and
to what the hell you're
doing.
10 miles
per hour is pretty fast.
It is.
That's a fast rock crawling speed.
But again, it is. But, well, on a buggy, it's slow. But, anyway, this was a close call, and I've had a few close calls this year, which I don't want any more of those. But seriously, this is close to my heart. Don't freaking drive like an asshole speeding through parking lots. It makes no sense. I don't get it.
So I purposely always park towards the back of the parking lot because I don't mind walking. But to that point, it puts me more in danger because, there's people racing around in the parking lot, right?
Uh-huh.
And it is. It's like you're playing Frogger getting in and out of
Frogger.
The store. And then the people that are fighting for that front row, that coveted front row spot.
And that's like the Costco parking lot. It's the most dangerous place.
They're
going to
get a gold medal if they pull in the front row. You know, they might as well jump up on the roof of their car and beat their chest.
I'm a winner.
So great. Well, that's very valid rant there. I like it, Chris. I like it. Your rants never disappoint.
Oh, well, there you go. So yeah, drive slow in a parking lot.
And
we've got some.
I agree. And we've got some of our listeners that have been backing up your rants. So that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah. So speaking of our listeners,
we
need to keep our we're increasing. I have been tardy on the gram because I needed to just disconnect.
You've been off the grid.
It was great to disconnect, and so I've got a lot of catching up to do. I have responded back to a few people. There's some emails I need to respond back to, so I'll get to that this week.
Okay.
And but we need people to keep spreading the word. What?
205 followers.
205 on the gram. And you know, you remember when we were just trying to get 100, and I didn't know if we were going to get to 100?
We were trying to get to 50.
But we got to 100, and we're like, so we're at 205 right now.
205.
Oh, my gosh. And I got a lot of photos coming.
Well, there you go. Blow it up.
A lot of photos. All right. So tell your friends. Continue telling your friends, family, and spread the gospel here, the podcast, if you're enjoying it. And if you think somebody else would enjoy it, point them in that direction.
Absolutely.
I turned a few people onto it this weekend. Of course, my new friends from Washington and Oregon stuff, I was handing out cards to them as they were heading out.
Uh-huh.
I said, hey, give us a listen.
Do you have any cards left?
Tell your clubs about it. Oh, I got cards left.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. But it was good. So, yeah, spread the word. And what's our website, Chris?
WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com.
Yeah, and you keep that up to date.
I do.
And then and my bio's up.
Your finally. Bio so is
both
up.
Both our bios are up.
The fancy picture and the whole deal.
We got all that stuff going, so that's good. We're like a legitimate podcast now.
And soon our logo is going to be finalized.
And the logo, we got just last night, hot off the press, got to view our logo. It was Friday night, I guess I should say. And it's really close. So now you and I need to sit down and do any final edits that we want to see done
right.
And then color it up. And we're ready for merch. Ahoy. Johnny, I was with
merch.
I was with Dirtbag Johnny this
Dirtbag
weekend.
John, did he record anything or no?
No, he didn't. We were at the show though.
Uh-huh. He's showing off his vehicle.
He drove up his 31 pickup from down south there,
sweet.
San Diego area.
Uh-huh.
Drove all the way up. He's on his way home now. So,
do you have air conditioning in that thing?
No. the windshield kicks out, though, a little bit,
oh,
so you
okay,
get some good
go.
Airflow.
Okay.
It's a haul. It's
yeah,
a haul.
Sure.
It's not a luxury, automobile by any means, but it rides good. It travels down the highway good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little loud. It's a hot rod.
Well, there you go.
You know?
No, I get that.
So, so he showed me the latest version there, the logo rendition, and we talked about that a little bit, about the coloring it up and getting that finalized, and then it's merch ahoy.
Sweet. Yeah, mugs and shirts and hats and stickers.
Hey, you know what else? He gave me a little swag this weekend.
What's that?
Dirtbag swag.
Dirtbag swag.
I got a new hat.
Oh.
But wait, you ready? It's the Platinum Edition.
Oh, shit. The Dodge Platinum Edition hat?
No, Ford Platinum Edition hat. So I got a cool photo of it. I'll post it up on the gram.
Right.
He goes, oh, yeah, check out my new Platinum. I'm all perfect. Love it.
Nice.
Love it. So it's a cool logo. So, yeah, and then you want to email us?
Yeah, so that's Chris at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com or Jason at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com, and we both love receiving love or hate mail.
So, yeah, I did receive some email that I do need to respond to, so it's nice. So, apologize. I was out of town.
Yep.
I'll get back on it here and get caught up. So,
cool.
Yeah, please email us. Questions, comments, concerns, complaints, go to Chris. All positive material comes to me.
Suggestions for
or
rants.
Lorenzo. Start sending Lorenzo hate mail. Maybe we should get him an email address.
He needs get well cards.
Can he type? I don't know if he's capable
keyboard.
Of typing.
Big keyboard. Maybe the one from Big.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that giant one.
The piano.
Yeah. Boy, we're all kinds of movie quotes this podcast here.
Anyway, I think that'll wrap her up. You got anything else?
That's all I got. I'm done. I got to go clean.
Well, a great little synopsis. Report on the trip, and I wish I was there. I wish I missed out on a lot of fun stuff.
We toasted you quite a bit.
I'm sure you did.
We said, here's to Chris.
Here's to Chris.
Here's another one to Chris. My old elk bottle died.
Oh, boy.
I got to get some more old elk.
Yeah, we do.
But
all right, with that, we are out.